episode number 92 of The Big Web Show, Everything Web That Matters. I'm your host, Jeffrey Zeldman, and with me today are Tosh Wong and Tom Harmon, the co-founders of Coastermatic. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Jeffrey.
How are you doing?
Pretty good, yeah.
Who's whose studio are you in right now?
It's somewhat... We're both at Tosh's house right now.
Uh-huh.
We're both in the process of moving out of our independent houses. So it's been a stressful day of packing. And so there's very white, bare walls here.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for making time while you're literally... I know Tosh, you're getting on a plane tomorrow to Hawaii.
So, no, it's our pleasure. It's fun.
So for those who don't know, let's start by describing Coastermatic. What is it?
So Coastermatic is very simple. It's your Instagrams on stone coasters. So we started a year ago, and the idea was we're basically interested in how more and more of our interactions, the way we communicate, is happening on digital platforms, online, and photos in particular are taken with applications like Instagram or uploaded to services like Instagram. So we decided to make those Instagrams real or physical by turning them into stone. It felt like making something about the idea of it being stone was the most physical thing we could make it.
What kind of stone?
It's a sandstone aggregate. We work closely with a manufacturer who are based in the middle of America, and they've developed a proprietary formula for developing this type of sandstone coaster, which incidentally is very absorbent. So if you are a coaster fanatic and you really care about the absorbency of your coasters, these are fantastic at their absorbent qualities.
Yes.
Are they also
condensation?
Are they weapons?
Are they weapons? I'm sure if you threw them hard enough.
Right? You could hurt somebody, but they're not star shaped. They're round, right?
They are round. Yeah.
What was the inspiration? Who thought of it? Which of you thought of it, or how did?
Well, Coastermatic came together as a it was a response to a project at school. So Tom and I, we've just wrapped up our MFAs in interaction design at the School of Visual Arts. And we had an assignment, which was for an entrepreneurial design class. And we had an assignment to find a way to make $1,000 a month, every month. That was sort of, that's the challenge.
Wait a minute. So your teacher assigned you to make $1,000 a month to design something that would bring you $1,000 a month.
Yeah. So the intention of the assignment was that if you can kind of figure this part out, when you have your big entrepreneurial idea, then it'll be easier to pay rent while you're working on your entrepreneurial idea. And Tom and I had another project that we were working on, which was kind of about lighting design that we were really excited about. And so we came up with Coastermatic as our way, as our $1,000 idea to fund us while we were going to work on this other project. But in the end, Coastermatic ends up kind of really embodying a lot of the same ideas that we were interested in with the lighting design project, which are ideas around personalizing space and kind of creating conversational space within the home, just in a different way. It's not the same as lighting, but it is still very table, like it's very tabletop. They become these really amazing social objects to have conversation around. And it was interesting how the two projects kind of came together. A business is hard.
These are both internet projects though, right? They're design projects realized on the web to start with.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the idea with the lighting project was, the idea was for it to be more of a physical product. And actually to get more specific about that, the idea was, at the time, almost 2 years ago, was the light bulbs that you could control with your phone, which incidentally, about 6 months later, 1,000 light bulbs that you control with your phone came onto the market. So, which in some ways was frustrating in that it was this thing we wanted to work on. But at the same time, it was perhaps validating that this idea that we had, there was some legs to it if there's all these other people doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it wasn't intended to work as a website per se, but being able to work through the internet as a medium was something that's very interesting. And also just having the output of that being very much in the physical world, being about the way people experience an environment together and although there's a big difference between lighting and coasters, there is that similarity that it's really about the way that you socialize around these objects rather than just printing an image onto some thing that lives in your, I don't know, lives next to a bed or something.
So these are all conversation pieces. Let's stick with Coastermatic for a moment.
Sure.
So it's your $1,000, the idea is that it's an assignment to create something that you can sell over the internet that will get you $1,000 a month, right? How did you figure out from a business point of view, so we have 20 ideas and this is the one that'll net us $1,000. This is the good, this is the right one to start with. This is the simple idea. What made you think printing on stones was the simple idea?
Well, it sort of came about. So Tom and I sort of combined, like we have sort of, Tom is much more stronger visually and I'm a little bit stronger with code. And so we were sort of brainstorming out what APIs we could use. And I'd played with the Instagram API a little bit and it was like, okay, well, between the two of us, we can probably figure out Instagram. And the beauty of Instagram is that all of the images are the same size. So when it comes to doing any type of processing, we just figure it out once and we don't have to figure it out again.
What had you done with the Instagram API before this?
I think I just made a little widget on my website so it would just like pull down the most recent one.
Right, your most recent Instagram.
It was something really small. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then once we decided we would work with the Instagram API, we kind of spent a day or two just sort of brainstorming out different things that we could possibly print on. Because at the time, I believe StickyGram existed. They're magnets, and I think Printstagram was around. But that was
Printstagram.
Really
Printstagram.
Yeah, social print studio. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And so they were one of the first companies to they will send you your photos in the mail. You can get them printed or you get these little books.
Okay, right. So how does it work? You connect your Instagram account to Coastermatic?
Yes. Basically, you come to the homepage. There's a giant button saying get started. That's when you connect your Instagram account. It basically loads in all your images from your Instagram feed. And then you can select four of those images, which are the shortlist, your selection. And then you go through to the next screen.
So you have the whole Instagram interface or some piece of it running inside your interface.
Yeah, well, the images are pulled from their API. So it's basically your Instagram feed.
The Instagram feed gets put into your interface that allows people to check and select and pick.
Yes.
Yeah, and we display the images as circles since the coasters are circular.
Oh, so they can preview what they're going to get for real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how do you do fulfillment?
So that's we partnered with a company in, as I was saying, in the middle of America, in Oklahoma. They're our manufacturing partner on the project. Mm-hmm. So we started speaking with them earlier on the project. To find them required extensive Google searching, phone calling, persuasion, other approaches.
Yeah.
But eventually we found these guys and they're fantastic. We really like working together with them. So they handle the printing itself and the shipping.
And they're the ones who came up with the proprietary printing on stone and stuff.
Yeah, so the company that we're working with, the person who started it is a ceramicist, and so it was kind of a ceramics experiment of his about 20 years ago.
Wow. What is their name? Can you say that? Do you have to keep it a secret?
I'm not sure if we can technically say that, but you could, I don't know. You can probably Google the things you mentioned about it.
Okay.
We're a little protective right now.
But yeah, they're really, really fantastic people. And last summer, Tasha went out to visit them and hang out. And I haven't been yet. But it's very interesting. I think also just from a business strategy perspective, it's very interesting to be working so closely with an organization that has a business in a very different sector or different space. And recognizing the strengths and weaknesses that you bring to the table and how you can create a product within an existing manufacturing infrastructure.
Yeah.
Have they said, hey, this collaboration's great, let's extend it. Here's some other proprietary materials we've come up with. What could you make with this? Or we'd like to ship cloth and string. What can you guys do with that?
Well, the factory that we're working with, they make coasters exclusively, and they make a couple of different shapes now, and the coaster colors, they have kind of different textures and colors. We go with their sort of blank white coasters, because obviously they print the best. but they don't actually make anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see you can make gifts, which is very nice. I mean, not only make gifts, because obviously this thing could be a gift, but you can buy a gift code to let someone else be creative. And so then I guess the idea is, well, I'll do it in sort of a mom and pop way. We had a great time at Disney World. Here are four of our Instagrams. We'll make coasters. And then when the relatives come for dinner, we'll serve these coasters and everyone will go, oh, it's your trip to Disneyland. How charming. So it's sort of a modern, designy response to like the thing when people used to have slideshows. You guys don't know about that, but you might have seen it in a movie or something about the old times. People would have, you'd come over and people would have slideshows of what they'd done.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've had a lot of people that will sort of print them for parents. So around kind of like Mother's Day, Father's Day, we get a lot of, images of grandkids going to grandparents, and that's really lovely. There's also, we have a lot of people that make coasters of their dogs. Dogs are very popular animals to make coasters of.
More than cats?
More than cats. Like a lot more than cats.
Huh.
You should probably make some of your cats, Jeffrey.
Well, maybe the cat people are using a different product.
It's true. Maybe I think we're just not advertising to them enough.
you're advertising on like, well, you could advertise on Cute Fight. You're not advertising at all, are you?
No, we're not advertising at all.
So where do you,
something to think about for the summer.
how do you find customers? How do you build your community?
Well, last summer we were fortunate enough to have a few people blog about us, which was really great. Koi Vin, I think, was our first one in June. PSFK ran an interview with Tom also in June. And then Tina Swissmiss wrote about us in July. And I think the kind of those combined sort of gave us a really nice bump over the summer and sort of really raised our profile a bit. And since then, we've been on like TechCrunch and Mashable. And that was all mostly last summer. We ended up appearing on a couple of like Christmas lists. But apart from that, we haven't done too much yet, because Tom and I have both been working on our thesis projects for the last probably like 6 to 9 months. So we're really excited about spending some time on kind of marketing and outreach this summer.
That's a lot of success and publicity for a part-time spare time project while you were getting an MFA. Do you have plans to expand the Coastermatic empire? Are there other kinds of products you want to do, or other creative things you want to do with Coastermatic?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So I think that the initial plan at this point is to grow, or there's some clear things we need to address with what the current product offering. And by product, I mean the web experience or web to door experience. So there's a bunch of things we need to change there and improve. After that, or after we can get it to a stage where it's more sustainably generating sales, and we're sustainably fulfilling those sales, there are plans to other potential products.
Hang on a second. There's a sunspot or something. You're breaking up.
Uh-oh.
I guess
this is weird. Tosh sounds fine, but Tom, you sound all digital.
Oh, really?
There, wait. Now we make it.
Yeah. Still the same?
Yeah. This is odd. I think there's a... why don't we try turning the video feeds off and see if that helps. I bet it will.
Okay,
here we go. Yeah, sound should be better now. Let's see.
Are you still recording this, Jeffrey, or do you want to edit this out?
Just keep talking. Don't worry.
Okay.
Gosh, I feel helpless now that I can't see you.
Yeah, so it's much different. Is the sound better though?
It is.
Okay, great.
It's much better. There we go. Okay. Let's see. So we were about to discuss plans you might have for expanding Coastermatic.
Yes. Right. So so the working title for the experiments and explorations we're looking to do after Coastermatic as a product itself are it's called Coastermatic Labs, and we're kind of interested in this space or this possibility that exists now around taking our online selves and doing interesting things offline with that.
Are you going to make the, I saw you give a, Tom, I saw you with a lamp you created as your MFA thesis, and the lamp took data and turned it into a light, but the light would remind you of things that had happened. The example I saw was a little bump that reminded you when your dad was sick and your sister visited him. Maybe you could explain that in audio. Good luck with that, but could you explain that?
I will try and very briefly explain that. Yes. So that project was actually also based on Instagram, although in this case, Instagram was fairly arbitrary. It was more about the coordinates, the locations where people take photographs. And this was an experiment in how our objects or how products that live in our homes can be more, have more narrative or tell more stories associated with the person who's created them. So something that I think started from Coastermatic or originates from there perhaps is around the idea that if we have less physical possessions or less material possessions in our lives, as we're living more of our lives online, how can the material possessions we do have contain more meaning or more functionality or more expressive qualities that are individual to us?
Right.
So the light project is around, which is called Figuros, and there's more information at figuros.com. It's like figures, but with an O.
Figures O? No.
Figures, but with an O instead of the E. So F-I-G.
Figuros.com.
O-S, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to spell that out again just because this is an audio program. And F-I-G-U-R-O-S.com.
Correct.
I didn't actually have to spell .com. Who is the model? Is that your sister?
No, that's my girlfriend.
Aha. The plot thickens. Okay. Okay. So would this come? So Figuros is not just the lamp. It's your lamp based on your life. So the shape represents, you take data. I'm doing a terrible job. You go ahead.
So the idea is you, in the specific example of Figuros, you connect your Instagram account. It looks at your most recent 10 or 20 photographs. It doesn't actually look at the images themselves, but it looks at the locations. So it takes the coordinates of where those photographs were taken. Then you can choose someone from the people you follow in your Instagram feed, and it takes the coordinates from those images. It then basically works out how far apart you are between the photos that were taken. So say, Jeffrey, if you had taken a bunch of photos at Central Park and I'd taken a bunch in Williamsburg over the last week, then the chances are they'll be about 5 or 6 miles apart, or maybe even closer. But the distance between those two points is the important element. So what happened is the distances between those points were calculated, turned into a bar chart, and then that was rotated around a central point to create this star type shape.
That's the part. That's the part that's always hard to describe. A bar chart of data was rotated around a central point and turned into this strange shape that looks kind of like the state of Texas.
Yes.
And how it becomes a memory is, if next week I'm in Canada at the Go Beyond Pixels conference, and next week you're in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Starting the next phase of Coastermatic Labs, then there would suddenly be a much greater gap than the gap between Central Park and Williamsburg. And then we would know, I would know looking at my lamp, oh, that's when my friends moved. And you would know, yes, that's when Jeffrey was in Canada.
Yes, exactly. And
it's a very abstract representation. So when people buy this light, which I assume you want to roll this out in production, they'll have to be able to articulate as well as you just did. Oh, interesting story about this light. You see, I graphed geolocation data points from my Instagram account and compared them with the geolocation points from my sister's account. Funny story. I don't know how they'll do that.
We'll have to make some Figaro's videos.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, you'll have to make coasters.
We've made a couple coaster videos
that explain coasters that explain how to tell the Figaro story.
We should do that. We should tell the coaster the Figaro story with coasters. That's a great idea.
We should. Definitely. Well, you're very right, Jeffrey. That highlights a clear problem in explaining this product. But I think in terms of that as a concept, I think it was more of in its relation to Coastomatic and as an item in Coastomatic Labs, for us, it feels more like an illustration or a demonstration of what might be possible with taking this behavior that we have online and turning that into physical things. The actual mapping of that, as you say, is quite abstract, which for some people is a really good thing because they kind of feel uncomfortable about showing your data in physical objects. But for other people, the abstract nature is actually more appealing because it's really just the form, and then you can just say that this lamp is about me and Jeffrey. You don't have to say it's about distances or space or anything like that.
Right. It becomes a secret. You know how it works, and it's just a really cool looking shape filled with light.
And I think the flip side of that is when you're at home and someone comes to visit you and they look at this thing and they're like, "Why? What is that ugly thing over there? Or what's that weirdly shaped thing over there? Why is it like that?" And then it's up to you as to how much detail you want to go into, but I think it would be okay just to say this is a light that I made with this other person.
And it's a much better story than, "Oh, I bought that at IKEA."
It is a much better story. And so your concept for both these products, and I guess the concept for everything that you do at Coastermatic Labs, or everything that you're planning to do in your move to Hawaii and development of Coastermatic Labs, is as we're downsizing our possessions because our books are in Kindle and our music is in iTunes and all that, the few things that we have should be more meaningful. And as more of our lives are lived online, we should find a way to personalize, take that online stuff and personalize it and turn it back into some kind of object, whether it's a coaster or a lamp or whatever the next thing is that you're going to think of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of an interesting time right now for these explorations as well, because there's a lot of development in manufacturing technologies. 3D printing is going more mainstream. There's a lot more potential for more custom products. But at the same time, a lot of the explorations that have currently been happening, although there's been lots of great stuff happening, a lot of it maybe is on the more tech or experimental end of the scale. And we're definitely much more interested in the more commercial, I don't want to say non-tech, but more accessible end of the scale.
Mm-hmm. You want to design stuff for mom and pop then? Do you want to design stuff for people who read Dwell?
I feel like there's a market the market I'm interested in is more, perhaps more design savvy or design conscious. So I'm not sure. We don't want to exclude mom and pops, but I think we're more interested in focusing towards perhaps a slightly younger demographic who are aesthetically conscious and design conscious about what they're consuming.
Williamsburg. You want to design for Williamsburg.
it's where we live.
But you're going to be living in Hawaii. How's that going to affect your Williamsburg?
We will be in Hawaii. So we're in Hawaii. I think we're both really looking forward to being in Hawaii because we'll sort of be in a little bit of a bubble. So we'll get to kind of continue the brain space that we've been in at school since we just wrapped up school a couple of weeks ago. And I guess in the year between. So I worked full time on Coastermatic last summer, and we haven't really had much time to work on it this year, obviously because of school. And so in the meantime, we've kind of built up this rather giant feature list of things that we need to do, or kind of content that we want to build, or videos that we want to make, and partnerships that we want to form.
Working with designers.
Yeah. So kind of once we, like, as Tom was mentioning before, kind of once we kind of get like a proper shopping cart in and kind of get the code really solid, we're going to, We're going to start to reach out to different artists, designers, photographers, and ask them to kind of partner with us and design coaster sets so that we can have an offering that is pre-designed so that you don't necessarily have to have an Instagram account.
And then that's the kind of thing that could sell at interesting designy boutique stores.
Interesting designy boutique stores or interesting larger stores. I mean, I think it just really opens us up to kind of explore new challenges too. Because I think part of Coastermatic for us is kind of this. I mean, obviously we have a product and we're really excited about making other products, but there's also just the experience of having a company. What does it mean to work with each other? What does it mean to build a culture? Like, how do we create a voice as an organization? There's just like a lot of fun, kind of interesting questions there. So one question is like, how do we get Coastermatic into West Elm? I don't know. That'll be a fun thing to figure out in 2014.
But so right now, what's the division of labor and things like brand, visual, content strategy, all that sort of stuff?
I'd say that by and large, Tom and I have mostly done everything together. And then once we get to Hawaii, I'm sure we'll probably start to kind of divvy out tasks a little bit more. But we, in the past, we've worked very closely.
Yeah, I'd say we both have very overlapping, quite broad skill sets. So as Tash mentioned previously, I guess I focus slightly more on the visual aspects and Tash more on the code aspects, but mm-hmm. we still overlap there. And I think in terms of a lot of the reason why it's such an exciting project to work on is there is such a broad opportunity to focus on making videos or taking photographs or writing or designing UI. Like it's a very open-ended as in terms of what that output could be.
Right. You've created a platform for yourselves to be creative for the next 5-10 years if you want to.
That hopefully. That's the intent.
Right. So maybe there'll be animated coasters like Harry Potter coasters. Right. Maybe
hologram coasters.
maybe you'll work with, you know, there's a font company and they want people to love their fonts. And so maybe you'll work with that, you know, putting letters on the coasters.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely one of the like really, really exciting things about this project. And as Tash was mentioning, partnering with other visual artists, photographers, designers, we see that as an opportunity to actually collaborate more with people that we're really excited about working with, but can't necessarily work on the product itself, but aspects of the product which feeds out of the nature of Coastermatic as a very open-ended product.
So if I were to generalize, there are some kind of internet ideas that are like, you know what's cool? $1 billion, that's what's cool. Like the Facebook play, the Instagram play. And this is not that. This is more along the lines of, it might be fun to have a clothing store, or it might be, you know, or, you know, 37 Signals. We'll make a product to scratch our own itch. And if we get customers and are able to support ourselves and make the product better, that'll be fun. Like seems more like the kind of ambition.
It's definitely, we're definitely kind of excited about bootstrapping the project, being that we've gotten this far doing it whilst we've been at grad school. And we're kind of, it's been great over the past few months kind of meeting other small organizations that have a similar approach. And I think we're both really excited about kind of trying to get to know other people in the community and kind of start to build more of a network between, you know, kind of smaller startups that might not be part of a large investment portfolio and have sort of a network built in that way, but kind of start to create a more informal network between ourselves to kind of help each other out.
Will you use the internet to maintain that network while you're in Hawaii?
We will indeed.
Because not that there isn't, I mean, there might be a really cool startup scene in Hawaii. I don't know. And you'll find out and you'll let us know.
We will let you know.
But Tash, you're originally from New Zealand?
I spent a lot of time in New Zealand. I've kind of grown up between sort of Hawaii and New Zealand. My parents are from there. So I did a couple years of high school there and then did all of undergrad there.
You're an American though.
I am an American. Yes.
Where do you guys, see yourselves ending up?
Could you define ending up?
Well, no, we all know where we're all ending up. What I mean is, are you going to permanently establish your corporate headquarters in Oahu or where?
Right. So our plan right now is to be in Hawaii for the summer. So in September or October, when the time feels right, we're gonna move to San Francisco and give the West Coast a try for a little bit.
Okay.
I think one of the aspects of Coastomatic that we're, I think, most curious about, and Tash alluded to, around designing a company culture and a type of company. I think the thing that we're really excited by is trying to not necessarily have a very specific location or a specific base based on existing conventions about what a company should be like. And I think that one of the things we're really interested by is how, like, the possibilities of virtual offices, virtual companies. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we do want to have a permanent base, but exploring the possibilities of being able to go to Hawaii for a few months as a company and then move to San Francisco as a company is definitely something that is part of that exploration and something that we're really keen to see if it works.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really nice. Tell
it
us.
Sounds nice. We hope that it also works.
Yeah. And so if you don't mind, if you don't mind looking back just a little bit, what was SVA's MFA interaction design program like for you? What did you learn? Can you summarize the experience in some way or some lesson from that experience?
Ooh, that's hard. So I came from, I have a sort of an architecture interior design background, and I've been working for kind of like a e-marketing firm, sort of building mobile platforms for hotels, kind of a transition. I'd sort of been playing with code for a while anyway. It was 2000, I don't know. The economy collapsed in 2008, and so I shifted from architecture into tech. And I came to the program as sort of to take the time to really explore what it meant to, I don't know, I was really interested in how the internet is changing the way that we are interacting with each other. And going back to get my master's was about taking 2 years to kind of really explore that and understand what that means. So coming out the other side of it, excuse me, it is, I don't know how to summarize the program. It's the most fantastic thing I ever did. Liz Dansko is a genius. She's the chair of the program. And Jeffrey, your class was also great.
Oh, thank you very much.
But I would say, I mean, one of the biggest lessons, I mean, I got a chance to kind of really sit and sort of think about these ideas around the internet and how we communicate and talk to each other. And but I think we end up learning a lot about sort of conversation and feedback loops and how that works within a sort of digital context. What else? I feel like one of the largest lessons is this notion of committing, which ends up sort of being this meta lesson of grad school, because it's really expensive. You're taking 2 years out of your life, but kind of once you get there and you commit to it, it's really fantastic. And then this sort of, it becomes like a repeating lesson. Like, the more you commit to your ideas and, really sort of live them and feel them, the better the outcome is. And I feel like Coastomatic ends up being a really clear practice of that. Like, Tom and I sort of have this idea and it's kind of risky. Like, I've got a bunch of debt. We don't really have any money. But I think it'll be fine because we're just going to go for it.
Yeah, it will be fine. It absolutely will be fine. You work with some really brilliant people, the students, not just the teachers. You guys were an amazing class, actually. There were 12 of you in the, I don't know if you call it a graduating class, but it's an MFA program, but all really just wonderful people. Very talented.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very lucky.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show and wish you all the best. And we want to hear from you again. If people are interested in finding out more about you and what you do, they can go to coastermatic.com. Mm-hmm. And to figuros.com, figuros.com. You guys are on the Twitters.
We are.
Tosh, you're at folio.toshwong.com.
That's my personal website. I'm on the Twitters as Tosh Wong. Tom is Tom Herman. We keep it exciting. Coastermatic is Coastermatic.
That's easy.
Yeah, very.
All with an at sign.
Exactly.
Well, thanks, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you, listeners. That was Big Web Show number 92. Bye-bye.